हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 106. The demons continued. What to speak of human beings? Even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandharvas, and charanas, and the various directors of the universe, the prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Srila Prabhupada comments. Even the asuras observe the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanakya Pandit says, Matritvat para dareshu. One should consider another's wife to be one's mother. The asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, had arrived before them. Who had arrived before them. Okay, means before, meaning not she was there before this turning started, but in front of. It was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, Gandharvas, the Charanas, and the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, had come here to find a husband among all those present, the Daityas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on. Right? Because he saw that when Lakshmi came, when she appeared, then there was that principle of looking for a husband. So now this one's appeared, namely, you know, everyone lost out on that one, but this one seems to be more approachable. Right? You know, there's more opportunity. Right? So even the demons understand that, you know, how you deal. So if she had symptoms of being married, they never would have said these things. But since she wasn't married, then they're saying. So that's why Prabhupada had mentioned here, what was the point? No one should address a married woman with lust. And so it's just she's married, so therefore then the discussions and that are always proper and everything like that. And But then if she's unmarried, then there's opportunity for establishing a relationship. So then they understood as then the Vedic standards, how qualified she was and everything. Being that qualified, then yes, she has not been touched by anybody. So they could tell by otherwise, why would there be so much potency? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes. Yes, like a, how you say, two newscasters are sitting there, a man and a lady, and the lady says, you know, that the performance that was before, oh, that touched me. And then the guy says, everybody's touched you. You understand? Yeah, so... You know, one loses something in this process. So that you're trying to bring it down to that, you know, here's a standard that one can go by. So here, the demons, even though they're committed to sense gratification, they're not going to break these standards. Because if you break these standards, then it messes it up for them also. Right, if you deal improperly with other women, you know, like that, then if the asura, he has women in his family, someone will deal improperly with them. So then it all gets lost. So that's the whole point. Is actually, if you're proper pranamoya, then it you're careful of all these things. But it's dharma that keeps it in place. Is that? Yeah.
Okay. Pseudo dharma.
Huh?
Pseudo dharma.
Yes, but I'm saying actual dharma keeps it in place, yeah. Because why is it like this? So what is happens is pseudo dharma then attacks dharma and says, oh no, but this is not right, this is not proper. They means due to the mode of ignorance, you try to take what's higher and make it look like it's lower. You know, like, you know, that's the guys we mentioned this morning. We're talking about the conquistadors, right? So as they go to another culture, what's the main thing why they feel they can come in there, conquer, take everything, and walk off? Because they're superior, right? They're savages, right? These guys, you know, you come to, you know, in many places of the world, okay, they may be tribals, but you have to remember as if, you know, you're catching wild boars to eat and then you're spicing that with, you know, mushrooms that are growing under the ground that only the pigs can find, you know that there's something wrong here. You know, especially if one mushroom, you know, half kilo of those mushrooms cost $1,000. You know something's wrong. Right, so then these tribals are more sophisticated tribals, yes.
Better at being.
Yeah, but the point is that they go in there, you know, the Vedic culture especially, and then they're talking a language that is way beyond theirs. They already know all the different things that make their systems work. Like, means in other words, if the West did not have the zero in their numerical system, they could not come to the technology they're at today.
And where did that come from?
Yes. And that's the whole thing. So the whole point is it's always they're savages. That's the whole idea. So here we see is these daityas, then they understand that, no, there's something above. Otherwise, then the whole thing falls apart. No one's going to enjoy. That's why we say passion. Right? And then the Danavas, they're in ignorance, because they're the ones that just buck the system. Right? The demigods, they follow properly. The demons, they follow for the material benefit they'll get, and, you know, the others, then they just do whatever they feel like. So. The demons continued, "Oh, beautiful girl with beautiful eyebrows, certainly Providence, by his causeless mercy, has sent you to please the senses and minds of all of us. Is this not a fact? We are now all engaged in enmity among ourselves because of this one subject matter, the container of nectar. Although we have been born in the same family, we are becoming increasingly inimical. O thin-waisted woman, who are so beautiful in your prestigious position, we therefore request you to favor us by settling our dispute. All of us, both demons and demigods, have been born of the same father, Kasyapa, and thus we are related as brothers. But now we are all exhibiting our personal prowess in dissension."
That's interesting.
Personal prowess in dissension. Therefore, because here they're talking to a girl, they have to talk nice, you know. So they're pulling out their best, you know, best behavior. You know? "Therefore, we request you to settle our dispute and divide the nectar equally among us. Having thus been requested by the demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of a beautiful woman, began to smile. Looking at them with attractive feminine gestures, she spoke as follows," right? Because she deals like that, then they keep attention, right? So then they'll feel, okay, they're getting somewhere. They said this, okay, she's going to do, and she's dealing interestingly very nicely, and so then they feel inspired. Yes, okay. "She spoke as follows, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the form of Mohini, told the demons, 'O sons of Kasyapa Muni, I am only a prostitute. How is it that you have so much faith in me? A learned person never puts his faith in a woman.'" Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 9. Mohini Murti said, "You say that you are the sons of the sage Kasyapa. How then have you become so lusty?" Right? Because he's a great personality, great Prajapati. Right? "This is a joke. This is a joke to bewilder them." Okay? The demons reply. So in other words, they're saying, they're being very careful not to speak in the improper tones, but she's kind of throwing it out as a joke to that, see how they respond. You know, it's just, it's a game. Right? And so Krishna, you know, for him, where's the loss, right? He's just having fun. Lakshmi, she get upset because she is dependent. But Krishna being independent, there's nothing that they can do to take advantage. Right? He's totally independent. So that's the thing, is that, you know, yeah, they won't be able to get close enough. But at the same time, as he can play around. You know, it's just like, it's not so much in American comedy, but in the English comedy, it's considered a very major aspect of funniness is having a man dressed up as a woman and then acting as a woman, all the feminine gestures and everything like that. Somehow the British really find that funny. And the Americans somehow or another don't, because, you know, I guess by nature they're... Yeah, it's just... It doesn't work for them, right? So here is just... There's that more subtle thing. So here's fun. Krishna's, you know, dressed up basically as a woman, and then he's doing the... So even see in Braj, he has pastimes like that. But he doesn't interact with men. He interacts with the gopis. But it's fun.
Like that. Monty Python Leela.
Yes, like that. But, yes. Okay. The demons replied, "We cannot be controlled by our emotions through any woman, but we have been conquered by your purity." Right? So they're saying is that just by how feminine dealings, we're not going to be conquered, because she's saying, "Your sons of the sage Kasyapa, how is it that you're affected so much by all this lust?" And they're saying, "No, by that aspect you can't control us like that, but your purity, that has attracted our attention." Like that. So the very good qualities, the real pure femininity, that is attractive. Like that. Mohinimurti said, "But I am a prostitute." The demons replied, "Shall we praise the limits of your lack of desire? You have not even smelled the scent of a man from childhood. You are speaking like this to hide yourself. Prostitutes among women claim they are pure. We desire..." So this is the other way. Someone is pure, then she's saying she's a prostitute. Prostitutes always claim that they're pure. So that's the same thing, is that for the prostitutes, for them, it's fun to act as if they're pure and pull off that aspect. Because, you know, they know what is. But Krishna, he knows what the desire of the living entity to be separate from him, so he knows what lust is. But that's there. So then he has fun playing on that card with them. So it's they're having a good time. Like that. "We desire to give everything to you because you are without duplicity." Right, so if someone's straightforward, then you want to give everything. There's duplicity, then you're not sure. Right, so that's the whole point. When it's straightforwardness, then there's also then that support is very direct. So how direct you're dealing with it, and that respond is direct. Right, because then the masculine responds to the feminine nature. Feminine nature is direct, then they'll respond that way. It's has the duplicity, then there'll be less of a response. Is that... Yeah? "Which is very unique among women." With a steady gait, because it's not very often that you'll find ladies will talk so straightforward. Now and again you'll find it, but generally it's not, because there's always a worry about loss, as we were saying, because of the nature of dependency. Then, due to worrying about loss, then there's not necessarily a very openness. Right? Unless the person themselves, like here, this is general, these are a bunch of demons. Right? Okay, now the woman may be open with, you know, a Brahmin, with, you know, a saintly person, you know, with the deities, with like this, someone close, then you might find it. But even then, you know, one needs to be careful. But here she's being very open and all that, and so they're very surprised by this. Because the Lord's independent, he can do that. That's why he says it's very rare to see. Like that. We'll see as we go through, we get into... Urvasi's ninth canto? Yes, Puravas. So then we'll see very candid points. But that's also for the purpose of just getting him to give up attachment. Like that. So either revealing one's own weakness or pointing it out to break down someone else's attachment. Then you'll find sometimes it's done. Or, yeah, or for someone's benefit so they don't get distracted. Like, so, yes. Yes, Vimangon Chintamani. She's just very straight, because the point is here, in one sense, you would have to agree Bilva Mangal was Chintamani's best customer. No one else is going to go through that much trouble.
He was Nishto.
Nishto. I think he's above and beyond. You know, it's like that. You know, he's like a Maha Nishto. So, by her saying this, she's actually losing a customer, but she can see as this much determination being wasted on a prostitute. This is a waste of time. We're just talking about sense gratification, but his focus on that, if that was pointed to the Supreme, how quickly he'd become a great devotee, which was true. Therefore, her as his, basically, Vartma Pradarsha Guru, she put him on the path. He very quickly came to that Uttam platform. Right? And then Krishna himself came, and like this. So it was very nice development. Yeah? Yes?
Is it necessary that women with an independent mentality are straightforward?
With an independent, they're straightforward only where it's beneficial to them. You know what I'm saying? It means, like, let's say, a career woman. She'll be straightforward about telling you what an idiot you are. That she'll be. Only because she's confident of her position that you'll either surrender or you'll go away and she'll just get another one. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to her own, why she's like that, who said what to who or who did what at what time that she's like that, that topic is not open for discussion. You know what I'm saying? So it's only economically viable. What I was talking about before is, you see, now and again, women can be very direct, very direct. They don't use it very often, but they can be. Does that make sense? So they're saying that it's a rare thing in women, because even in just any one particular woman, how often is she really direct in what she says? Because generally you'll have the aspect of contrariness, elusiveness, and shyness. So none of those are direct. Does that make sense? Yeah. So now and again they will be direct. So in very unique amongst women. So one is that any one woman does this, that's unique, because it's not standard. That she will do it, but it's not that often. It's not just how she behaves. And then to have someone who, their only interaction, she's been so, you know, non-duplicious. You know what I'm saying? So that will be then unique. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Simplicity? Without duplicity means simplicity.
Means you could be saying something straightforward. You could say something in a sophisticated way. It just means that it's straightforward. But the point is being straightforward means you're not worried. You feel confident. There's no worry of loss. Right? In other words, that proper shelter is there. That's why you won't see women being straightforward very often. Because otherwise, if you're always straightforward, then one risks one's position becoming insecure. Right? Because if one's contrary, one's always trying to do better. If it's elusive, it's always hard to figure out, so you're trying harder. Okay. There we go. Got some words. Otherwise, I was like, what's going on here? And then, and shyness is that again, you can't quite tell. So that means someone has to work. But if you're always straightforward, then where's the work? You understand? So you have to find that balance. Vishnu Krishna Hari Hari. seems when it's warmer, there's more happening. You notice when it's really cold, it's really quiet. or really hot. Either one. It's okay. With a steady gaze produced out of astonishment at their mental words, Mohini Murti then spoke, "O wise men, do not put faith in me if you desire your own good." Right? So, very straightforward, because this is what he says. I'm here to cheat you. Yeah. So don't put your faith in me. No. You, because that's the whole nature. Because women, because of that contrary, elusive, shy, they said, no, don't tell it. No. You know, like this. Oh, you can put full faith in me. So I don't want to, you know, like that, you know. So that's the whole. What I speak externally has the opposite meaning internally. Since I understand that you are learned, you should do what is proper. One should understand that there is an internal meaning in the previous and later events. Though you think that I am pure, one should know that internally I have lust since youth. Being filled with lust and being a woman and not having the protection of a husband or sons, how could I not become a prostitute? Therefore, you should not trust me at all. You know, just say, you know, messing with their heads. Right? Srila Prabhupada adds, Chanakya Pandit, the great politician and moral instructor, said, Vivaso naiva kartavya shtrishu rajakuleshu cha. Never put your faith in a woman or a politician. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is pretending to be a woman, warned the demons against putting so much faith in her, for she had appeared as an attractive woman, ultimately to cheat them. Right. So, the point is that she's giving instruction on how they shouldn't be attached on that material platform for their own benefit. But at the same time, she's come to cheat. So then, by the feminine graces, she will cheat them. That's the whole point. Because if one behaves nicely and all that, then one will be distracted. It's just the way it works. Indirectly disclosing the purpose for which she had appeared before them, she said to the sons of Kasyapa, "How is this? You were all born of a great rishi, yet you are putting your faith in a woman who is loitering here and there like a prostitute." Right? Because otherwise, where is? They're seeing the purity. They don't understand. That's because she's the supreme lord. So naturally, he's the supreme pure. But they're taking that she must be pure. But where is the husband? Where is the father? Where is the son? She's just there on her own, you know, and just there that they could come up and talk. It's not that as they come closer, she keeps walking farther away. You know, they're able to come up and, you know, stand around and talk and everything like that. Okay. Women in general should not be trusted, and what to speak of a woman loitering like a prostitute. The word kamini is significant in this connection. Women, especially beautiful young women, invoke the dormant lusty desires of a man. Therefore, according to Manu Samhita, every woman should be protected, either by her husband, by her father, or by her grown sons. Without such protection, a woman will be exploited. Indeed, women like to be exploited by men. As soon as a woman is exploited by a man, she becomes a common prostitute. This is explained by Mohini Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So she's using the explanation, but at the same time as that's what she's going to do. She is going to cheat them. Right? So you get both from this. Whatever the Lord does, many things are accomplished. So it's not that it just comes and accomplishes the pastime, but also the instructions and everything also get accomplished here. So we learn what is proper behavior. Right? Because the point is the The living entity has come to the material world to enjoy, to control and enjoy. So then, the point is the feminine nature embodies the total aspect of material enjoyment. Right? All the aspects of the senses are included. Right? So therefore, then the feminine nature is that one object, by that, then all others are accomplished. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, because it mentions as you go back. So there the king has his, you know, his treasury, his army, his other things. He has seven angas of his kingdom. So then it comes up, his wife is, except for himself, his wife is, you know, is basically, if nothing else, he and his wife leave and then start the kingdom over again. If they can't save anything else, then he has that. Right? Because he himself then from that position, because as a kshatriya, the first thing he has to do in establishing everything properly is get married. Then he can do the whole thing. So if he has... But if nothing happens, if somehow or another in the process of losing his empire, he loses the wife, then he can always start again. But the point is the first step's going to be wife. Then after that's going to be proper as your minister. Then after that's going to... So has whichever ones you can keep, then that's what you do. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then in here is that because of that position, that power, then if that's not protected, that's not contained, it's a problem. Like, which is more powerful? The fire, the pot, the spoon, the sabji, which has the power?
Fire,
okay. The pot is there. The pot falls off the counter onto the floor. You're supposed to take this pot over to the neighbor. You're walking out, you're just about to leave, and then you remember you forgot your keys. You put the pot down on the couch. Then you go back, you look around for your keys, then you finally find them, now you can't find the pot, then you get the pot, you know, as you're going out, you know, it's bumping into things, you know, you have to, you know, if you want to, depending on how far back you want to go, back to vaudeville, then people are getting hit in the head with the pot, you know, stuff like that. You know?
That's how it goes.
Yeah, like that. And if you're a horse, then you use it for, that's the main weapon for protecting, you know, the kingdom. Right? Okay?
Okay.
Like that. If you're not a horse, no, use something else. Okay? So.
So, everybody on the same page.
Yes, everybody on the same page. So, then, so is that, what if it was a spoon? What if it was a cauliflower?
This is pretty much the same thing.
Okay, what if it was fire?
Not so good.
No, you could burn the whole house down. Any place where you put it, it would be trouble. So that means it's the most powerful. That means it has to be the most controlled. So that's the thing, is that it's put, women have to be controlled and they're the least powerful. But no, it's they have to be controlled. They're the most powerful. It's not brought out much because it doesn't work very good for the masculine ego, but women are more powerful than men. That's just the bottom line. That's why then there must be the control.
We'll edit that part.
yes, of course.
You're
here
with the recorder today. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, all you do is just when it goes along, you just go, and so women are more...
Suddenly the hurry down comes back.
Yeah. Go into March. You understand? Prabhupada only mentions it once in all of his books and purports. Because it's just one, it's a fact, but it's not something that's focused on. You focus on it, everything gets bent out of shape. Because the first thing that has to be done, okay, women are more powerful than men, but which woman is more powerful than all the other women? And you already have World War, I don't know. You know, we've already gotten to Z, so whatever's beyond that, you know, yes.
So he mentioned that women shouldn't be trusted, but then also the next point is exploitation. So how can we reconcile those?
Means the woman's exploiting or the man's exploiting?
No, the man exploiting woman. Before, it mentioned it shouldn't be trusted. So
yes, but it's not that the men shouldn't be trusted either, because it says women are politicians. So why is he dealing with her? If it's only for sense gratification, that makes him a politician. So if he's there to protect and take care, then there shouldn't be exploitation. So that's why Prabhupada makes these points, is that one can't exploit women. One has to protect. That's the whole point there. So then if he says, no, but women are dealt with badly, that's because men don't understand what protection means. Like that. So that's the point. Boys are trained in sense control and, what do you call it? In sensitivity. And girls are trained in chastity and satisfaction. You put that together, then you have a good combination. Like that. But if something's missing, then there'll be a problem. Like that.
So Prabhupada mentioned that indeed women like to be exploited by men. Kind of like
exploited means by exploited by who they appreciate to be exploited by. Because the point is the feminine nature is passive, the masculine nature is active. So the girl expects that the boy is going to be the dynamic one in interaction. You know what I'm saying? And then he makes that move, then she can be contrary to that and say she's not interested. And then what is she interested is, then she'll be elusive. And then when he comes, so is it this? And then when he's got it right, then she's shy. Right? So the point is, but unless he's active, how can the woman manifest all these qualities? You can't be contrary to nothing. Right?
So women, they find that exploited men, they...
But it, yeah, but means you have the... As soon as... But it says, as soon as a woman is exploited by a man, she becomes a common prostitute. So the point is that if it's on the street, so she's looked. So the whole point is who is that man who will properly deal with her? That's the one you look for. But if she goes out on the street for that same interaction, because husband and wife and then girl out on the street, the interaction is basically the same. It's just as difficult. It's just as, it has the same subtleties. Because there's lack of possession, girls will give a little bit more space to the guys. You know what I'm saying? It's like the two come together with their swords, and the one who's in the stronger one, seeing that the other one's doing nothing, puts the sword down, just so that the person sees, oh, then they can, and as soon as they move in, then the sword comes back up. You know what I'm saying? So women will make openings just so the man will become active. You know what I'm saying? But when you're looking at it, it's just she's creating opportunities. Then he's supposed to become active on that. So if a woman is active, that means that there is no man being active, so she's having to create her own activity. But that doesn't last very well. Right? Because she expects the other to. Is that okay? Yeah. So here is that exploitation, because what does the exploitation mean? Who's the value? Right? Girl didn't go after the guy went after her, so she's of value. That's the aspect of where they appreciate being exploited. That means like to be exploited, because it means they're the center, they're important. But now it's a question of, is it on the street, then it's a prostitute, or is it, you know, with, you know, his father, husband, or son? Does that make sense? So that's the distinction.
You just draw it like that, somebody.
Sorry?
You can't just like draw out like that.
It means you have to understand what's being talked about. You have to understand what nature we're dealing with. Because if we just go by words, then we can get very bent out of shape about all this.
Same time, like one time Prabhupada was saying, you don't trust a woman or a politician.
Yes.
Right? And he looked at Yamuna Maharaj. Yamuna Maharaj said, yes. And then Prabhupada was like, but you're a Vaishnava, not a woman.
Yes, that's there. So if they're acting on that platform, then you can deal on that Krishna conscious platform. But when you're dealing in the feminine platform, how can you trust? You know, the woman says, oh no, you know, we know things are tight, you know, I don't need anything, you know, like this and that. And then, so the guy doesn't get anything. They're like, you never get me anything. Right? So, therefore, you can't trust. Does that make sense? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's on a low level of lack of qualities. It just means, what they say, you can't trust that that's... If you're contrary, then even they like what you're saying, but you're behaving in a negative way, you can't go by what they're saying. Right? Elusive, shine, it means all these things are saying the opposite of what's there. Does that make sense? So on its pure level, then you can't trust because the nature is that is it goes against everything just to create variety. Now, if that's not trained properly and not protected properly, yes, then it gets down to common prostitute. Right? And probably here says common prostitute. He's not giving high-grade, high-class prostitute. Right? Those are society girls. That's not these.
Right?
Because you cannot, a common man cannot exploit a society girl. It's not going to happen. She's got bodyguards. They're going to pick you up and toss you into the canal. And that's not in good shape. It's, they'll...
Lucky if you get out of
here. Yeah, there'll be some instructive interaction before they toss you into that canal. Right? So it just doesn't happen. They live in a fortress. People can't get in. They're saying so when Prabhupada says common, he's talking about third grade. So that's the lowest end. And then the highest end is Grihalakshmi. Means by the wife, how she behaves in the house, the interaction between husband and wife, then she's like Lakshmi, and all prosperity comes to the house. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form. Now, another just point, just for authority here. Is Krishna doing a good job acting as a girl?
Yeah.
We would have to say best. So therefore, that means he knows the feminine nature. Therefore, when he speaks with authority. Okay. So we can't say, no, it's not like that. That's why anything said about women is always spoken by women. Otherwise, then we go, oh no, men, they don't know. But when women say it, then they go, well, I say. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Mohini continued, O demons, as monkeys, jackals, and dogs are unsteady in their sexual relationships and want newer and newer friends every day, women who live independently seek new friends daily. Friendship with such a woman is never permanent. Because it's about the newness, the excitement, the variety. So it's not variety within the relationship. It's more external. It's just variety of. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, you have a particular cuisine. Now someone is very expert within that cuisine can create unlimited variety. Right? So some can appreciate that. Right? More refined, more trained, they appreciate that. But those who are less trained, then... What's the difference? Today it's Mexican, next day it's Chinese, next day it's Lebanon, next day it's, how you say,
Greek.
Like that, or it's a sandwich, or, whatever it is. Yeah, this doesn't matter. All I think of is, what do you call it? Olives. All those are great leaders.
Yeah, they have salad.
Salad.
Greek salad.
Yeah,
that's right. When you mention it, you kind of, what? You know what I'm saying? So that means this: when she gets down to this independent woman, then it has to be that much difference. So only if something's nice, you keep it a little bit of while, just like, you find some nice restaurant, you go there a few times before you won't go back there for a long time. Right? So in the same way as this, they just move on. So that's what Mohini's talking about here. One has to be very careful. So then if there's proper training, this doesn't happen. But it's not just the women, it's the men. Because we've seen most of the Bhagavatam is talking about how the men have to be trained. And occasionally there's a few instructions about the women. Because what's there for the men, that applies to the women, you know, in the general thing, but this is them specific. So if the men stick to their parts about what training that they need, then these instructions, then the women, they can take them to heart. But if the men take these as the main ones and focus on those, telling the ladies what they should do, then right there is, you know, how you say, that's immediate failure. So. This is the opinion of learned scholars. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after the demons heard the words of Mohini Murti, who had spoken as if jokingly, they were all very confident. Right? Because they're saying all these things, so she's so pure and acting in this way and joking in this way. So, because the point is, the prostitute won't say this. Not in meeting prospective, you know, people to interact with. Right? So she's saying this, so they're taking it, it's a joke. She's actually supremely pure. And so therefore, he's just saying all these things. Because if she was actually a prostitute, she wouldn't say any of this. Right? They laughed with gravity and ultimately delivered the container of nectar into her hands. But, you know, so they thought about it. They're seeing, okay, everything's proper. So they're also not getting out of hand because... And it means she's already mentioned all the out-of-hand stuff, so you can't deal with her out-of-hand. You know? That's also one of the ways. If you just say, you know, this shouldn't happen or that or something, you just bring it up or, you know, like that, then you know, we're going to have this meeting. You're not going to try to trick us into, you know, doing this with the company, are you? And then, of course, no, like that. So you can't bring it up. So it's another way. They've instructed, it's been done in a joking way, but she has said everything because she is going to cheat them. So he didn't lie. Right? Mm. You know, so the contrariness here takes on a slightly different context. Yeah. Like that.
All right.
Yes.
It's very interesting that she insulted them, actually. But then they felt that there is some hope for
yes.
Steel is there. So they just delivered the container.
Yeah, it's like the donkey. You know. It just works. That's it means if there's hope against hope that there's some that one can get some benefit, that it, something can work. So that's the
the demon getting attracted and getting so confident, is it just lust or is it some attractive feature of Krishna?
That there means all lust is connected to Krishna because dead matter does not actually create a whole lot of lust. You know, it's just like, okay, here we got this. Over here. So here we have this here. Girls are actually made out of that. Right? But unless Krishna puts his potency, then nobody's attracted. You understand? So it's Krishna anyway who's attracted, but here it's more obvious. It means it's him directly. But they don't know it's him. They still see it's the feminine form. That's why it kept saying about the Lord in the form of Mohini Murti. Because the Lord's speaking, but as Mohini Murti is speaking. He's not speaking as the Lord himself. Though he is the Lord himself. Right? Does that make sense? So, that way they're attracted. But the point is that there's the ideas that the potential... See, desire comes from potential. Does that make sense? There's the idea, I could have that, I could enjoy, I could be happy. Whether you could actually get that, whether you ever would be happy with that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, where are you from? As far as the city goes.
Born in Delhi, we are in South India.
South India. Okay. So, now in Delhi or in South India, do people have washing machines?
Yes.
Okay. And so it means either in your house or other people's houses, you've seen washing machines and people dealing with washing machines, right? Do they sit around with these huge, satisfied grins on their face like the world is perfect now when they use their washing machine?
No.
But in the advertisement, that's what's there. Right? So it's potential that you could be happy. But is anybody happy? Because by that advertisement, everybody in the family would spend all their time in the laundry room, and everybody would want to, you know, hey, I want to do the laundry. He says, no, it's my turn. Okay, well, at least let me push the button, or, you know, like this. You know, no, it's like it's a fight over who does the laundry. And there's a good chance if you own a laundry machine, it is a cleaning lady. And she's not doesn't have a smile on her face either. You know? Does that make sense? So it's potential you could be happy.
Yeah, that's all right. But my idea was that since Krishna is perfect in all sense, so when he comes as a feminine form, he's a perfect feminine. I mean, is it that part which is more important here?
What do you mean by more important?
I mean to say that Demon's having so much confidence, despite the fact that she is very much telling that she is going to cheat. I mean, right. And actually they are intelligent, as we read. They are intelligent. They know the principles and everything. So besides that, Krishna is able to cheat just because he's Krishna or...
No, because he's using the form of a woman. Otherwise, if he used another form, then they wouldn't go for it. It's just like Krishna is Ajita, right? He goes for the head of the snake. Immediately, demons know we have to have the head. But he goes as Mohini Murti, hey, take the whole snake. What do we care? We're good. We'll just sit over here, you know. You understand? So that confidence, because where does confidence come from? Where does all these things, potencies come from? They come from Krishna. So they're connected to Krishna, therefore all this is coming. But the point applies to that masculine and feminine interaction. These rules that she's saying, they 100% apply. You follow them, they work. It's not like, oh, well, that's for before, or that was, okay, yes, okay, if you have a big mountain, a big snake, some demons and demigods, and they're churning the milk ocean, then these instructions apply. But, you know, in 2016, here in the modern world, you know, in the age of technology, all this, it doesn't apply. That's just nonsense. It always applies. So it's just he's saying these things. But he's giving instructions that we're getting benefit from, but the demons aren't. So, you know, how you say, instructing the daughter to train the daughter-in-law, so that kind of thing. So he's instructing them, they'll never get anything out of it, but we'll get. And ultimately, they deliver the container of nectar into her hands, right? Because she said all these things. You know, what girl talks like this is so non-duplicious, is so straightforward, so she must be very trustworthy, very pure, very, you know. And they all would like to be with such a girl, so, you know. You're definitely not going to say, well, I don't know here, we can trust you. Then that's definitely not going to go down well for, how you say, having an opportunity. Right? You're definitely not on the short list if you do that. Right? Yes? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. They were pacified by her joking. They laughed in such a way that their intentions could not be understood by the unintelligent. They thought as follows, O woman with all qualities, are you testing us? We are not faithless and impure in heart. Take the pot of nectar, divide it and give it to us, or drink it, or throw it somewhere else. Do as you please. Know that we have become yours because of your good qualities. Right? So that's the whole point, is qualities that are attractive. Like that. Because they talked about the purity, they talked about these things like that. So ultimately, that's what's attractive. Other things, then, you know, that's nice. But it's the point is the Let's say, like, okay, let's say we have a stained glass window. Now, the stained glass window, behind the window, you put, you know, a black piece of paper. Is it very interesting? No, it's because there's light behind it. You understand? So it's not actually the stained glass window, it's the light coming through the stained glass window that makes it nice. So the potency of purity and the feminine qualities coming through the feminine form and activities, that's what's attractive. So these days when everybody puts it on the form, has since plastic surgery come in vogue, have the divorce rates like plummeted? You know, now no one gets divorced, nowhere like that, everything's working out perfect. You know, all girls are finding someone to marry, everything's working out great, right? Yes? No? So it's character. But someone said, no, but it's not the character yet. But the point is, no, it is the character. Because in one sense, these demons are qualified. They're sons of Kashyapa, so they notice that. Okay, if you're talking about common prostitutes, then you got a common guy off the street also. Coming back.
Reinforcements. Expand.
What do you call it? What's the note? You have the main note. Then you have the supporting notes, and they have the dissonant note. The body vibhadi. Body anuvadi vibhadi. No. This is a little better. Why is it wherever they are, it's like the speaker is pointing to us? That's like in those paintings that look direct wherever you stand, they're looking at you.
Maharaj,
you have to wait till they go by. Or when the saints go marching by.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes.
Talking about the qualities of a woman.
Right.
Am I supposed to, must I accept that it is all women have, women in general have the qualities? Or?
No, feminine nature has the qualities.
Okay,
it's a matter of.
They are Krishna conscious, or they have tried to become chastised, or they do their utmost to become a good woman. In general, you're talking about, no matter what women, a woman in general, you are talking about.
What
qualities.
I was talking about before, that's all women. Use that nicely or not. You know what I'm saying? Dogs bark. They like to grab things in the mouth. Now, whether they're picking up a stick that you're throwing in affection, or they're biting onto your leg and they won't let go until their teeth touch. But the principle is they bite. Yeah, does that make sense?
So no matter what woman, they are qualified according to...
No, that's not what we're talking about. No matter what woman, they use the feminine qualities, whether they use them in a positive way or a negative way, that's up to the individual woman. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada adds, the personality of God in his form of Mohini was certainly not joking, but talking seriously, with gravity, right? But the presentation, they thought it was joking, right? The demons, however, being captivated by Mohini Murti's bodily features, took her words as a joke and confidently delivered the container of nectar into her hands. Thus, Mohini Murti resembles Lord Buddha, who appeared Sammohaya Surad Visham. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.24, to cheat the asuras, right, to take them away from what they're doing, to follow them. So then Mohini was getting to not follow what was proper, you know, the Vedic standard, to follow her. Just like Buddha, they didn't follow the Vedic standards of lifestyle and just followed him. Because they're misbehaving, so they can't use it properly. So then she's taken the same kind of, very interesting point. The word Sura Dvisham refers to those who are envious of the demigods or devotees. Sometimes in incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead cheats the atheists. Thus we see here that although Mohini Murti was speaking factually to the Asuras took her words to be facetious. Indeed, they were so confident of Mohini Murti's honesty that they immediately delivered the container of nectar into her hands, as if they would allow her to do with the nectar whatever she liked. Whether she distributed it, threw it away, or drank it herself without giving it to them. Right? Because they were just so captivated by her. So their idea is, as long as they get her, it doesn't matter what happens. You know? Who needs nectar? You know, and if she drinks it, even better, right? No, this is it. Therefore, thereafter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having taken possession of the container of nectar, smiled slightly and spoke in attractive words. She said, "My dear demons, if you accept whatever I may do, whether honest or dishonest, then I can take responsibility for dividing the nectar among you." Right? So, in all phases, Krishna's being actually very straightforward with them. But because of the feminine graces and that, they can't see it. Yes.
Also, we see that we hear only what we want to hear.
Yes, yes.
So that aspect is there.
Yeah.
Because people may say so many things, but we pick and choose what's
for us. Yes, yes. We pick what's
for us.
But also then, yes, that's theirs, we're going to pick one. So they pick the opportunity for sense gratification.
Yeah.
Then when you put on top of that being nice, if you have the situation where someone comes up to you and they're very obviously being nice, really obviously being nice, yeah. But instead of going, you know, hey, what's going on, you go, okay, what do you want? Mm-hmm. You know, so you're willing to do it simply because they were doing all the things right. That were nice. So that's the thing. Mohini Murti here is doing all the things that are nice and pleasant and all that. So they're just willing to go along. But it's like what you said, they only pick that here's an opportunity for sense gratification. So that's why.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if it had been Narad Muni, they would have just had a nice conversation. You know, like that. Now, could you tell me some other things? You know, like that. You know, so then it would have been, that would be an interesting conversation. Narad Muni and Mohini Murti. The chiefs of the demons were not very expert in deciding things, right? So it means not that they do things, but here is not very expert. It means based on the scriptures, but that's expert. But they weren't. Here it was just their own feelings. So they weren't. It's not that they must be doing something right. They took over the whole universe. So they, you know, as far as that goes, they were doing okay. But as far as actually what should be done and not be done, they're not very expert. Right? That's why you always, that's what, from the Vedanta Sutra, when you have a definition of a word that doesn't seem to match the thing because it's matching something farther back, something higher.
Mm.
Right? Like that. Upon hearing the sweet words of Mohini Murti, they immediately assented. Yes, they answered, what you have said is all right. Thus the demons agreed to accept her decision. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, the demigods and demons then observed a fast. After bathing, they offered clarified butter and oblations into the fire and gave charity to the cows and to the Brahmins and members of the other orders of society, namely the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, who were all rewarded as they deserved. Right? So it would be different kinds of charity. You know, for kings, they might get kingdoms or different facilities that go along with that. Vaishyas, land, the things, or, you know, facilities for what they're doing, you know, and like that. Shudras then would be given, you know, nice things and stuff like that. Thereafter, the demigods and demons performed ritualistic ceremonies under the direction of the Brahmins. Then they dressed themselves with new garments according to their own choice, decorated the bodies with ornaments, and sat facing east on seats made of kusa grass. Footnote 37. Srila Prabhupada writes to verse 14 to 15, the Vedas enjoin that for every ritualistic ceremony, one must first become clean by bathing either in the water of the Ganges or Jamuna or in the sea. Then one may perform the ritualistic ceremony and offer clarified butter into the fire. In this verse, the words paridhaya ahatani are especially significant. A sannyasi, or person about to perform a ritualistic ceremony, should not dress himself in clothing sewn with a needle. There it is. Oh, so that means... No, you could wear Levi's, old ones, because they're riveted together. So that means, but that means only cowboys, because now they sew them, so that means you couldn't use them. But the cowboys could have come in their blue jeans. But they weren't clean, so then that's a problem. So we have to get all that together. All that happening. Yeah, so this is the like that. So therefore, for pujas, that's why then cloth is used that's not sewn, unsewn cloth. That's why the Vedic standard of what cloth is used. So on the altar, then certain kinds of clothing are used. Often one may use sewn cloth, but for generally speaking, since Brahmins are always doing like that, brahmacharis, the sannyasis, so they tend to just use unsewn cloth. Or to a minimum, then they'll use sewn cloth. Right? But that then, does that make some sense? So here's very specific, you know, because people say, oh, it doesn't say a dhoti, but what kind of cloth is unsewn other than dhotis, chadars, saris, right? It's easy enough to put two and two together here. Okay, that was where? There. O king, as the demigods and demons sat facing east in an arena fully decorated with flower garlands and lamps, and fragrant with the smoke of incense, that woman dressed in a most beautiful sari, her ankle bells tingling, they always want to use, no, but it doesn't say, entered the arena, walking very slowly because of her big, low hips. Her eyes were restless due to youthful pride. Her breasts were like water jugs. Her thighs resembled the trunks of elephants. And she carried a water pot in her hand. Her attractive nose and cheeks and her ears, adorned with golden earrings, made her face very beautiful. As she moved, her sari's border on her breast moved slightly aside. When the demigods and demons saw those beautiful features of Mohini Murti, who was glancing at them and slightly smiling, they were all completely enchanted. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 18. Though the Lord is the friend of Lakshmi, he became her female friend. Though Narayan is most beautiful amongst males, you, Lakshmi, should not become proud and think that you are the most beautiful among women. Right? Because he also can... Yeah, okay. I, the Supreme Lord, am also the most beautiful among women. To prove this to Lakshmi, he showed this form. She had golden earrings and beautiful nose. So that's the... Because she appeared, so right at the beginning of the relationship, then he establishes the basis is that. So he's beyond. But because she approaches him, he reciprocates like that, and so then she can, as pointed out before, she can have full confidence that he'll always deal with her properly. Because she always deals with him that way. Shisugadev Goswami continued, demons are by nature crooked like snakes. Therefore, to distribute a share of the nectar to them was not at all feasible, since this would be as dangerous as supplying milk to a snake, right? As it is, they make trouble, and then at one point they'll die. So they'll make trouble and don't die? No. Considering this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who never falls down, did not deliver a share of nectar to the demons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Mohini Murti, the master of the universe, arranged separate lines of sitting places and seated the demigods and demons according to their positions. Right? So everyone's according to their position. That's just things that not, oh no, we're just all equal, everyone sit everywhere, we don't know. They're according to their status, according to that. So the demons, you know, you'd have the Daityas, their heads and everything, then Danavas and their heads, Gandharvas, everything like this. And so everybody would be in order of their hierarchy, and then within their group, then within the hierarchy there. So it actually, it takes a lot of knowledge and culture and skill to do that. Like that. But so that the Lord arranged them like that. So then doing like that, everybody's very happy. Because if that's done properly, surely everything else will go properly. right? So does that make sense? Yeah. Taking the container of nectar in her hands, she first approached the demons, satisfied them with sweet words, and thus cheated them of their share of the nectar, right? So she didn't just straight go there. She's like, oh, dog talks nicely, this and that, and then wanders off to the demigods. Then she administered the nectar to the demigods who were sitting at a distant place to make them free from invalidity, old age, and death. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments to verse 21. She cheated the demons by slowly moving close to them while moving her cloth, ornaments, and ankle bells, covering her face, smiling shyly, and moving her eyebrows. So we can see here is that Mohini Murti, we've gotten no indication that she was Muslim or had any influence of Muslim interactions. So here her, how you say, covering her face like that, using her cloth, all these different, it's something that was pre-Mughal invasion of India.
We would have to say
that. Yes. But of course, you know, who's reading this?
Yeah.
Okay. Smiling shyly and moving her eyebrows, they thought she would give a little to the devatas to satisfy them and give most to the demons, right? Because we see all the interaction wasn't with the demigods. It was with the demons. Because Krishna told them, don't get attracted by anything that comes out of this ocean. Right? Lakshmi comes up, everything, just don't get involved. The demons are interested like that because ultimately Mohini is going to appear. And then, you know, if they get interested, then the whole thing's blown, right? You know? Then immediately they'll start fighting each other. So they're not fighting with the demigods because she hasn't shown any interest in them. Right? So they're confident. Otherwise, if the demigods were also there, they wouldn't be so confident. Then they'd be, instead of fighting over the nectar, they'd be fighting over Mohini, right? This is how she cheated them. They concluded in their mind, we are now drinking nectar with our eyes, ears, and mind. The nectar from the milk ocean cannot be more than this. What is the use of the nectar? We desire simply to please her. She then gave nectar to the devatas who were seated far off. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, O king, since the demons had promised to accept whatever the woman did, whether just or unjust, now to keep this promise, to show their equilibrium, and to save themselves from fighting with a woman, they remained silent. Because otherwise, there, publicly, they're going to fight with this lady. You know, so that's going to be a problem. The demons had developed affection for Mohini Murti, and a kind of faith in her, and they were afraid of disturbing their relationship. Therefore, they showed respect and honor to her words, and did not say anything that might disturb their friendship with her. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 23. The demons were so captivated by the tricks and friendly words of Mohini Murti that although the demons were served first, the demons were pacified merely by sweet words. The Lord said to the demons, the demigods are very, very miserly and are excessively anxious to take the nectar first. So let them have it first. Since you are not like them, you can wait a little longer. You are all heroes and are so pleased with me. It is better for you to wait until after the demigods drink. Like that. Yeah, so then they're naturally going to. And, you know, it doesn't look, you know, it's not exactly the way they imagined it working out, but, you know, they'll go with it. Because she spoke nicely, they don't want to disturb the relationship, anything like that. Sukadev Goswami continued. Rahu, the demon who causes eclipses of the sun and moon, covered himself with the dress of a demigod, and thus entered the assembly of the demigods and drank nectar without being detected by anyone, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moon and the sun, however, because of permanent animosity towards Rahu, understood the situation. Thus Rahu was detected. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, all the demons were bewildered and cheated by Mohini, but Rahu was not bewildered in order to broadcast the glory of the nectar by making his head immortal. He immediately understood the intentions of Mohini and entered the line of the devatas. At first, the devatas could not recognize him. The sun and moon, however, recognized him when he sat down. Because they feared him, they could not say, sit in another room. Oh, that's so fun. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, this seat's stinking. Oh, who is it? Oh, he went to the bathroom. Be right back. That's so funny. Sit in another room. But when he got the nectar and drank it, they raised their brows to indicate this is a demon. Shri Sukadeva, because I think he's bigger than them, because he can swallow them with his. So he was quite big.
Yeah.
Right? Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarty Thakur comments, the form of Ajita, not Mohini, cut off his head. Yeah, because Ajita was playing the form of Mohini. So the whole pastime is done by Ajita. But then, you know, it's just like Krishna in Vrindavan, as Vasudeva, he kills the demons, not as Braja Krishna. Because there's a mood, so in that mood he does, because otherwise it's not going to go. You know, because they didn't mention that she, I mean, the black hair, of course, we understand, but they didn't mention, you know, the other attributes that she might be a goth or something. Because then you could say, okay, she kills him himself, then everyone would just go, woo, cool. Yeah, so it's not.
So is it, I forget, is Mohini Murti in like Lagu Bhagavat Samhita? Is it like described as Leela Avatar or what
oh, it's been Leela Avatar.
Yeah.
But she's also the Vishnu deity of the Pradhan. Because Pradhan functions because of her.
Ajita will be the Malvantara
avatar? I'm not sure. But he seems to be protecting Indra's interests. Because there's so many that he's acting in that capacity. He's definitely doing it. I don't remember if I didn't remember it saying specifically what he was. Okay. So funny. Because they feared him, they could not say sit in another row. So even demigods have, so even if you took the demigods and sent them to high school, they'd still have problems,
same,
right? You know, Rahu would be taking their lunch money.
Punching you in the stomach.
Sorry?
Punching you in the stomach.
Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, when the personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculously ambrosia, right? So it appeared as though the Lord didn't know, but it was arranged so that that faith and the power of the nectar is there. Otherwise, they've worked so hard doing all this work, and so if it's not good, then, you know, so now you can see this. It works, right? Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, Rahu's head, however, having been touched by the nectar, became immortal. Thus, Lord Brahma accepted Rahu's head as one of the planets. Since Rahu is an eternal enemy of the moon and sun, he always tries to attack them on the nights of the full moon and dark moon. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed his original form. Right, so at the end, so then it appears that he changed back to Ajita when he killed him, so that the demons could see them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so then, because there's nectar, therefore then, it's not that every time that they have a change in Manvantars, that that the planets change. The planets just go throughout. And so then Rahu, then he lasts also. So it doesn't appear that we have, you know, Rahu the 15th, Rahu the 27th, you know, like that. Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. The place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity, and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its results. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Though the material conditions were the same for both the parties, the devotees achieved success and the demons did not. The moral of the story is here stated. The place was the same, the milk ocean. The time was the same at every moment for both parties. The means was the same, using Mandara Mountain as the churning rod. The materials were the various herbs thrown into the ocean. The activity was churning the ocean. The determination was desire to attain nectar. Oh, okay, the ambition. Okay. But in attaining the result, there were alternatives. Alternatives, that's a nice one. An alternative. Attaining nectar and not attaining nectar. Among them, the devatas attained the result because they took shelter of the Lord's feet. The demons did not attain the result since they did not take shelter of the Lord's feet. The meaning of the incident is that everyone should serve the Lord. Srila Prabhupada adds, in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it is said, Ye yatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Judge who awards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto His lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upwards and sometimes downwards, thus suffering the results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally they work almost like the karmis, the devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons or atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but all day they work very hard day and night. They cannot get more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of karma and achieve wonderful results, even without effort. That's the thing, that's the point of Krishna karma. It can go beyond, right? It may, so, yeah. It is also said, falena parichyate, one's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its results. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis. Although the karmis may dress like devotees, right? So here karmi means that it's about karma. They want results of their activities. It's not actually about pleasing the Lord like that. So even though they may be pious, behave nicely and deal nicely, but still their purpose is to get the material benefit. So Krishna knows their purpose. So according to their endeavor, they'll get, but they won't get like he's giving the devotees. So. As confirmed Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagyartat karmano nyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. Karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and jnanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore says, Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali ashanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 19.149. The karmis who desire sense gratification, the jnanis who aspire for the liberation of merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success in mystic power, are all restless. And ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with the all-auspicious results of bhakti yoga without hard labor. Right? So he gets the benefit. He's just putting his effort into devotional service. So, but all results that could come from just material endeavors, then he also gets that. Right, so there's no separate endeavor. One's just endeavoring in devotional service, right? We make the point, okay, I'm doing my devotional service, I have to be practical, I have to put my effort into all these other things. But then, according to how Krishna is pleased, then you may get more or less stuff, more or less facilities, right? Because you're doing that technically not connected to him. I mean, of course, there's the aspect that there'll be some connection, but you're not seeing it there. But when the devotee just does devotional service, so he sees all things in connection with Krishna, then he gets all the benefits. That makes sense. Because there isn't a separate endeavor. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that the activity changes. It means the consciousness changed. Because we say, oh, I'm just being practical, it means the consciousness changed. Otherwise, if you saw, you know, one's work, one's occupation in connection with Krishna and how Krishna's evolved, you wouldn't say, I'm just being practical. When you say, just perform your duty, do it for Krishna, you'd say, yes, okay, yes, that's what I'm doing. That's my endeavor. You'd see it as devotional service. But when you make that separate, no, we're being practical. You know, or what about, you know, being realistic? That means then you're not seeing with that consciousness. So. Shri Sukadeva Goswami concluded, in human society there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone, just as water poured on the root of the tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. And so, the point is, you're not changing these. That's why then activities that are favorable to devotional service, that's then what's chosen as one's activities of activity in human society. Protection of one's wealth, family, body, mind, words, personal extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All that's chosen from what's recommended from Scripture. Then one does that for Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's the method. Then there's no need to change what you're doing. Because what the point is changing the consciousness. Right? Now one may say, well, what if they're doing something that's not nice? Then the point is first change the consciousness, then they can change what's not nice. Like that. If they're willing to change what they're doing, then great, but that means there's a change in consciousness that they're willing to do it. But if not, the main thing is if they change the consciousness, everything else will adjust with it. Right? Because just as it mentioned, the snake was going, and everything else was following, the Paranjana, all the maidservants and everything. Yeah, so where the mind goes, where the conscious goes, the life goes, where the subtle body goes, that's where the gross body goes. So you adjust the consciousness, that's where the subtle body goes, where the subtle body goes, that's where the gross body goes. So you simply adjust the consciousness, whatever is needed to be adjusted in the other two, that'll happen.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
Jai
Jainata Gaurapada ki.